Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. James Burnham's The Managerial Revolution, What is Happening in the World, is a political theory book first published in 1941 that tries to explain the structural transformation of modern industrial society. Burnham argues that capitalism is not simply continuing in its classical form and that socialism is not the inevitable replacement. Instead, he claims a new system is emerging, one ruled by managers, administrators, technicians, and bureaucratic elites who control production without necessarily owning it. The book is therefore both a diagnosis of historical change and a prediction about the future of power, state organization, and economic coordination. Written in the context of war, mass industry, and the rise of large bureaucracies, it treats politics, economics, and class power as parts of the same transition. Its purpose is not descriptive social history alone, but a broader argument that the dominant social order of the 20th century would be managerial rather than capitalist or socialist. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Burnham's core claim power is shifting from owners to managers. The book's central idea is that modern society is moving away from a system in which capitalist owners directly dominate production. Burnham argues that ownership and control are no longer the same thing the legal owners of firms, or of property more broadly, increasingly do not exercise real day-to-day authority. That authority is being absorbed by managers, executives, engineers, bureaucrats, and other technically trained administrators. This is the conceptual foundation of managerialism. Burnham uses it to explain why the old picture of capitalism as rule by private property holders is becoming less adequate. The significance of the argument is that it redefines class power in functional rather than purely legal terms. What matters is who actually makes decisions, allocates resources, and directs institutions, by focusing on control rather than formal title. Burnham offers a framework that goes beyond traditional left-right categories and aims to describe a new ruling class formation in industrial society. Secondly, why Burnham rejects the idea that socialism is the automatic successor to capitalism. A distinctive feature of the book is its refusal to treat socialism as the natural historical heir to capitalism. Burnham agrees that capitalism is weakening, but he denies that this necessarily leads to worker control or egalitarian ownership. Instead, he argues that large-scale industrial economies require coordination by specialized administrators and technical elites. In his view, the logic of centralized production favors those who can manage complex systems, not necessarily those who own them or those who labor within them. This is a major break with Marxist expectations, because it replaces the expected binary of capitalism versus socialism with a third possibility managerial society. Burnham's argument matters because it shifts attention from moral ideals to institutional capacities. The question becomes not which ideology wins in theory, but which social group can effectively organize mass production, government, and military power. That makes the book a critique of simplistic progress narratives and a warning that economic transformation can produce new hierarchies rather than equality. Thirdly, the rise of bureaucracy, technocracy, and the modern administrative state. Burnham places great emphasis on the growth of bureaucratic structures and technical expertise as the practical basis of managerial power. He sees modern states and corporations becoming too large and complex to be controlled by dispersed owners or traditional parliamentary politics alone. As a result, administration expands, planning grows, and decisions are increasingly made by specialists who operate through hierarchical organizations. This is one of the book's most durable insights because it connects economic concentration with political centralization. Burnham suggests that managerial power does not appear only in business. It also appears in government agencies, military command systems, and public administration. The book therefore treats bureaucracy not as a neutral tool, but as a social force that creates and sustains a new elite. The broader implication is that efficiency and control can become a basis for domination. In Burnham's model, the more society depends on technical coordination, the more influence shifts toward people who can administer systems rather than own them or vote within them. Fourthly, the book's authoritarian horizon and its superstate predictions. Burnham argues that managerial society will tend toward more centralized and authoritarian forms of rule because managers seek efficiency, stability, and coordination on a large scale. He believes they are likely to favor stronger state structures and fewer limits on administrative power. The book also includes a geopolitical forecast that the world would consolidate into a few large superstates organized around major industrial and military centers. Even though that specific prediction did not unfold as Burnham expected, it reveals the scale of his thinking. He viewed managerialism as a global transformation, not a local reform. He believed the same structural pressures were affecting capitalist, fascist, and socialist systems alike. This makes the book important not only for its sociology of elites, but also for its attempt to connect state form, war, and industrial organization. Its prediction of centralized power reflects a broader concern that modern mass society concentrates authority in fewer hands, even when it presents itself as rational, scientific, or democratic. Lastly, why the book still matters for debates about corporate power and elite coordination. Although many of Burnham's concrete wartime predictions are dated, the book continues to attract attention because its basic framework still speaks to contemporary concerns. Readers today often find the language of managerialism useful for thinking about large corporations, state agencies, and the overlap between business leadership and public administration. The book is especially relevant when analyzing systems in which formal ownership is separated from practical control, or where credentialed professionals and executives shape outcomes more than shareholders or voters do. Its value lies less in exact forecasting than in its diagnostic vocabulary. Burnham forces readers to ask who actually rules, how power is organized, and what kinds of expertise become politically decisive in a complex industrial order. That makes the book useful to political theorists, historians, economists, and readers interested in class formation and institutional power. It stands out because it does not merely criticize capitalism or socialism. It proposes an alternative account of the 20th century centered on managerial elites and bureaucratic control. In conclusion, The Managerial Revolution is best suited for readers interested in political theory, elite studies, industrial society, and the history of 20th century social thought. It is not a practical business book and not a conventional economics text. Instead, it offers a structural interpretation of modern power that remains provocative because it asks who really governs when ownership, administration, and expertise separate from one another. Readers looking for a challenge to standard capitalism versus socialism frameworks will find the book especially valuable. Its main benefit is analytical rather than predictive. It encourages sharper thinking about bureaucracy, technocracy, state capacity, and the social role of managers. Compared with similar works, it stands out because Burnham treats managerial control as a new ruling principle, not just a feature of modern organizations. Even where its historical forecasts were wrong, the book remains notable for anticipating later debates about professional elites, administrative governance, and the fusion of corporate and state authority. For that reason, it is still a significant text for anyone trying to understand how modern institutions concentrate power. If you would like to support James Burnham, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.